Welcome to the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday evening, May 12th, a triumphant night for us here in the Political Cesspool as we welcome back to the airwaves Keith Alexander, back among friends and families after one of the most difficult weeks in his life. We touched on that during the majority of the first hour. Check it out, the all-new, completely restored and refurbished broadcast archives. If you happen to miss the opening of tonight's program, available for you just a few minutes after the conclusion of tonight's show, you can get those archives at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Actually got an email here from a young lady, a mother of four children, I believe, in Missouri. And the title of the email reads, "I can't believe y'all are talking about women not voting." So I open it expecting, well, to be berated, but she writes this. And again, this coming from a young mother of four. She says, "Honestly, while we're at it, let's get them off juries too. No, I'm being serious, James. I've always said one of the worst things for someone on trial is to have a jury loaded with subjective, emotional thinking women. I'm so amazed, capital S-O, so amazed Keith is back. I'd love to meet him someday. I have learned so much from him. It's my education hour. Please tell Keith hello for me," which I'm doing right now, and that comes in, again, from a young mother of four, Kim, in Missouri. And Kim, God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show. Pat Buchanan says that the culture war is approaching its Battle of Antietam. North Carolina became the 30th state in the country to pass a constitutional ban on sodomite marriage. The very same week that North Carolina does this, Barack Obama decides to make the legalization of sodomite marriage his signature campaign issue. So that, of course, puts him at odds with the vast majority of the country, at least on this issue. Pat Buchanan writes about this in a very good article. Here's what Pat has to say. "It took Joe Biden's public embrace of same-sex marriage to smoke him out, but after Joe told David Gregory of Meet the Press he was absolutely comfortable with homosexuals marrying, Barack Obama could not maintain his credibility with the cultural elite if he stuck with the biblical view that God-ordained marriage is solely between a man and a woman. The biblical view had to go. Obama had to move or look like a hanger-on in secularism's next great moral advance into post-Christian America. Consider, Obama had an upcoming appearance on The View where Whoopi Goldberg was sure to demand why he lacked the courage of Biden's convictions. He had a $40,000 plate fundraiser at George Clooney where the Hollywood crowd would want to know why he does not end discrimination, so-called discrimination, against homosexuals. He has appearances lined up before gay activists raising millions for his campaign. Monday, his press secretary was pilloried for his feeble defense of Obama's now-abandoned position. His hand was forced," Buchanan writes. "Yet the stand Obama took could cost him the presidency. Same-sex marriage may be a bridge too far, even for a dying Christian America. On the plus side for Obama is his decision is producing hosannas from the elites and an infusion of cash from those who see same-sex marriage as the next great moral and civil rights issue of our time. But Obama may have also just solved Mitt Romney's big problem. How does Mitt get all of those evangelical Christians and cultural conservatives not only to vote for him, but to work for him? Obama, by declaring that homosexual marriages should be on the same legal and moral plane as traditional marriage, just took command of the forces of anti-Christian secularism in America. And November 6, 2012 is shaping up as the Antietam of the culture war. Obama's second problem is that he may soon be seen as America's champion of same-sex marriage, but an ineffectual advocate. For Obama can do nothing as of now to impose homosexual marriage on the American people. 31 states have voted to outlaw it. North Carolina actually became the 31st. A constitutional amendment supporting same-sex marriage could not win in a majority of either the House or Congress, let alone the necessary two-thirds of both. Hence, Obama is going to spend the next 6 months winning cheers by calling for same-sex marriage, but the price of those cheers will be rallying millions of opponents of homosexual marriage who will fight this battle where they are winning it, at the state level. Only 6 states have approved homosexual marriage, while 31 have imposed a constitutional ban. In North Carolina, a ban not only on same-sex marriage, but also civil unions, though opposed by Obama and Bill Clinton, carried on Tuesday with a whopping 61% of the vote. A Republican turnout in North Carolina's primary was up half a million, the highest in history. And this is a state Obama carried in 2008, a state whose largest city, Charlotte, will host Obama's convention. Even in liberal California in 2008, while John McCain was getting a smaller share of the vote than Barry Goldwater in 1964, Proposition 8, restricting marriage to man and woman, won. How does Obama propose to win this battle? He has but one path to victory, the Supreme Court, as they always do. The New York Times, listen to what the New York Times wrote, ladies and gentlemen, declaring that homosexuals' right to marry is, quote, too precious and too fragile to be left up to the whims of the people and the tearing winds of modern partisan politics, end quote, is looking to the Supreme Court as the last best hope to impose same-sex marriage on the nation. Can't trust voters, can't trust elected legislators, can't trust Congress. Homosexual marriage, says the New York Times, is too important to be left to democratic decision. This republic must be commanded to accept it by unelected judges who serve for life and against whom the people have no political recourse. The process of judicial tyranny has begun. A California judge has overturned the decision of California's voters to ban gay marriage, and his ruling is headed for the high court. The Supreme Court, thus, will tell us whether the issue is to be decided democratically by voters and their elected state and federal legislatures, or dictatorially by themselves. Four liberal Supreme Court activists, Elena Kagan, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Stephen Breyer, and Sonia Sotomayor, are probably ready to declare that homosexual marriage is a constitutional right, as their predecessors declared that abortion was a constitutional right. But Obama needs one more justice. He needs one more justice. If elected, he'll get it, and same-sex marriage will be forced on all of America, just like Brown versus Board was. If Romney wins, the Supreme Court will at least have a chance to leave the issue alone of same-sex marriage to be decided by the people and their elected representatives. That was the article from Pat Buchanan. After this next commercial break, I'm going to toss it over to Keith, and he is going to tear it apart and fill in the dot that Pat left blank. But first, and I know we only have a few seconds to break, we're going to take a caller, and caller, I apologize for making you wait. I hope your comment is quick. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I'd like to comment, if I could, on the subject which you were discussing earlier about women's attitudes, white women's attitudes.
Right.
And why it was that they voted in such large numbers for Buckwheat Berry Obama.
Well, I'll let Keith answer that, and thank you for the call. We'll let Keith answer that after this next break. And we'll also get into a follow-up on Pat Buchanan's article there about the Antietam of the Culture War. In the meantime, another email has just come in from another young woman, this one in Alabama, and she writes, "Hi, James, I agree with Keith about the softness of women. I wouldn't even trust myself as a leader for this country. This is why I go to conferences, to be supportive and not a major influence. I have no desire to be in any sort of leadership role whatsoever. As rational as I may appear, I will admit that there are issues that even I as a woman am too soft and emotional." So this comes from a 29-year-old listener in Alabama. Ladies and gentlemen, it seems as though we've struck a chord and the women are supportive of our stance on it. We got to take a break, but I'm giving it to Keith right after this, and he is going to tear it apart. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss it.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly, 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
America has lost her way, lost her mooring, forgotten her direction. What once protected us from leftist theories and cloud-borne wish lists of egalitarian quacks and crackpots was that our principles and values were grounded on experience, what actually worked, as settlers built new political societies from scratch, from the ground up. America was based on personal responsibility, our right to manage our own affairs without the dictation of central planners or a distant bureaucracy. But we're losing that foundation. We're losing our liberty. At www.truthbasedlogic.com, we offer arguments for which the enemies of traditional America have no answers. Truthbasedlogic.com exists to help us better understand, defend, and restore the heritage we are losing.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
When the truth is found, welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right. What a show. I mean, Keith Alexander and Eddie, the Bombardier Miller and I were just reflecting during that last commercial break at what an incredible show we have here. And, of course, the fact that we host the show plays a very small role in the fact of the reasoning why this show is so good. The audience, the support we have at the network, it all goes in. We're some of all of our parts. But every now and then you just step back and reflect on how many people have come to love this show and rely upon it. And, well, it makes you very proud. Anyway, Keith, to reset the table, I'm tossing it right over to you, my friend. Barack Obama has made homosexual marriage a signature issue of his campaign the same week that North Carolina became the 31st state to ban it, despite endless propaganda and constant vilification of those of us who rightly believe that the only legitimate marriage is that God-ordained union between a man and a woman. North Carolina voters held the line by delivering a blow on Tuesday to the homosexual crowd. When given a chance to vote, Keith, as you know, people almost always line up on our side when it comes to the so-called taboo social issues. If political issues were left up to the citizenry, today's America would still, even with all of these people voting that weren't originally voters, would still look very similar to the America of 1954, I say. That, of course, 54 being the year that the left found out they could circumvent the will of the people through judicial legislation, and Brown versus Board was their precedent-setting move. The powers that be know this, which is why social change usually comes through the dictates of a black-robed tyrant. So, Keith, over to you on Supreme Court writing legislation and everything else we covered in that first segment.
Well, let me tell you, this is very, very important, and I think it's a very teachable moment. People wonder why every year at this time we devote an entire show, or at least an entire hour, to the Brown versus Board of Education decision. We do it because this is the left's ultimate trump card, and the homosexual marriage issue is the perfect illustration of this. In Brown versus Board of Education, delivered on Black Monday, May the 17th of 1954, that was the moment, that was a watershed moment in America. America has been in a downward spiral ever since, because this is the moment in time, the point in time, in which the left learned how to rule America without winning elections or persuading legislators. Whenever from segregation to integration, or trying to make abortion the law of the land, free and accessible and easy for people. And thirdly, to change basically what are the marital customs of the entire human race. Where do they go? You know, who are you going to call? Not Ghostbusters. You're going to call on the Supreme Court. And, of course, that depends on controlling the Supreme Court. Alexander Hamilton in Federalist number 78 called the federal judiciary the weakest and least dangerous branch of the federal government. And it was if you followed the Constitution of 1787. Of course, that Constitution was put to rest by Lincoln and the abolitionists and the Northerners in the Civil War. The South supported the old Constitution and its understanding in which local government was always better than state government. State government was always better. Federal government being better than global government. We have liberal elites like Strobe Talbot, who was a big shot in the Clinton administration, people like George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush, who are secret or even not so secret fans of one world government. I remember back in the 50s when the John Birch Society was trying to warn everybody about the Trilateral Commission and about one world government and about one-worlders who thought there was no reason why Americans should live any better than Ecuadorians, people laughed at them. They're not laughing anymore, folks. Big government is here to stay, and what the people think apparently means nothing. This is the ultimate definition of tyranny. You know, tyranny, according to most miseducated people today, means that you're a mean guy. If you're a tyrant, you're a mean guy. That's not the textbook definition, the traditional definition of a tyrant. A tyrant could be very popular. He could try to make, a lot of them came in with very benign intentions, like Benito Mussolini. He made the trains run on time. They reduce the violence in society, things like this. But what they do is they rule with a total disregard of custom, tradition, on the issue of gay marriage and basically every other issue that they support. They think they are smarter than the rest of us. They are utopians. And in their effort to try to create this utopia that has never existed, this liberal utopia, they are destroying the nation that we got from our forefathers, which is the best and the greatest in the history of mankind. And we're expected to let them do this. You know, the problem with the Brown versus Board of Education decision and with the power of judicial review is that Americans are fundamentally law-abiding citizens. I remember when the Brown decision came out, and although there was massive resistance in Congress, basically by Southerners, that's why I say Southerners should lead now, just like they did when the nation of the United States of America was founded back in 1787. All the big thinkers were from the South. James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, George Mason, Patrick Henry, people like that, totally outshone people like John Adams and Sam Adams and Thomas Paine. You know, those were minor lights compared to the people that really wrote the Constitution and really governed and set the foundation for America. See, that's what we need to get back to. We need to have people like that in charge, and we still have them, as we mentioned in the first hour. People in Senatobia, Mississippi, a lot of them, the ones that we encountered at my wife's funeral, still think this way. They still know what is, you know, that they're not going to buy into this Bravo Sierra that the left is trying to sell them. Now, all that the people of North Carolina were doing, all that the people of California were doing when they voted down Proposition 8 to make homosexual marriage a constitutional right, they're just endorsing the marital traditions not of white people, but of people throughout the world. There is no nation, there is no group of people in the entire world that held historically that homosexual unions were due the same respect or were the equivalent of heterosexual unions. You know, Nancy Pelosi was saying that the most important word for her is the word, and that somehow the word, in other words, sacred text, the Bible, tells her that she has to be for homosexual marriage. Well, she hasn't apparently read the Bible then, because every utterance that the Bible makes about homosexuality is condemnation. It's not only a sin, it's called an abomination. An abomination is a supersized sin. So, you know, we're all supposed to, you know, put common sense and tradition and the marital customs of the entire human race on a shelf and worship at the golden calf of liberalism. That's what this is all about. And, you know, I'm really glad that he decided to come out on this, because what this shows you is the slippery slope of liberalism. You know, people felt the same way about racially integrated schools in 1954, at least a large segment of the American population did, as a large segment of the American population, the majority of people today, feel about homosexual marriage. You can't give, and what did we get for making a concession to the left on racially integrated schools? Not a darn thing.
All right, folks, we're going to take a break and go back to the phones right after this. James Edwards, Keith Alexander on the Political Cesspool.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
For too long now, those whose ancestors carved from a vast wilderness an awe-inspiring extension of Western civilization have been without any semblance of political representation. Abandoned by the political establishment, we now face the prospect of losing our national identity, culture, and our way of life. But there is hope. There is still time to right these wrongs, and there is a vehicle to organize our people into a force capable of reclaiming America's destiny. The American Third Position is that vehicle. It's a political party for our people, led by extraordinary patriots like Bill Johnson, Kevin McDonald, and myself, James Edwards. Our ancestors, from the gates of Vienna to the sands of Iwo Jima, sacrificed their all in order to secure Providence's most precious gift, freedom. Now it's our turn. Learn more at the American Third Position website, American3P.org. That's American, the number three, the letter P.org. This is the American Third Position, American3P.org.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Are you looking for literature from authors who aren't ashamed of their European-American heritage? Are you looking for books that don't shy away from the forbidden facts? You used to look all over the internet for these books, but you can now find them all at the same place, LighthouseLiterature.com. Whether you're looking for rare classics from the great thinkers or the latest and most popular books from guys like me, Lighthouse Literature is your trusted source for the best books at the best prices. For a limited time, you can get my new book, Racism Schmacism, from Lighthouse Literature for only $10. When you make a purchase from www.lighthouseliterature.com, you're helping support dedicated real-world advocates and activists. So, what are you waiting for? Surf on over to lighthouseliterature.com, a bright light for the right.
They don't
To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. Big
girls don't cry. Back to the show, what's turning into yet another stellar live installment of the Political Cesspool radio program, broadcasting tonight, as we always do, from our flagship station, AM 1380, WLRM Radio in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, and simulcasting online, where so many people around the world are tuned in this evening, through our internet simulcast at thepoliticalcesspool.org, our official internet headquarters. Another quick reminder that the broadcast archives are now bigger, better, and faster than ever before, thanks to the incomparable work of Sam Bushman and the Liberty News radio crew. And I got a lot of emails last week from people who appreciated Sam's appearance on this show. I told you he was the best. He gave a great nutshell version of the speech he delivered in Nashville entitled "He Who Owns the Media Owns the Rules." Anyway, much more than just making appearances on this program from time to time, Sam hosts his own show, the Liberty Roundtable, every Monday through Friday here on the Liberty News Radio Network, libertyroundtable.com, for more information. And as I mentioned, Sam is the mastermind behind the new and restored archives of The Political Cesspool, and those are facilitating higher traffic flow as this program and this network continues to get more and more popular. And we're continuing to get more and more popular because we tackle issues like this, the issues we're covering tonight and every night, fearlessly and head on. And people still coming in with emails on this matter. Wes in Idaho, the first male to respond to our segment on women voting. And here's what he wrote. James, the house divided will not stand. So often the woman is liberal, i.e. wants more government, whereas the man is naturally more independent and wants less taxes, less government, more freedom and responsibility. A tug of war. A house divided with the woman's vote canceling the man's will not stand. Under Christian law, the man was to be the head of the household. Really, women should not vote in a Christian nation, he writes. Congress, the House of Representatives, was to represent the families in the USA, and each house was to be of one man and one woman with the man as the head. Senate was to represent the states, an old divide-and-conquer tactic with the 17th Amendment and women's suffrage. P.S. My mother in Seattle has a poster of Obama on her refrigerator saying, "This family was for Barack." My older sister were probably for Obama, too. Not me. And that comes again from Wes in Idaho, and he writes he does like the Amy Allen Ron Paul song, though. But anyway, Keith, and I want to thank Wes. He's been a loyal listener and supporter of this show for many years. I want to thank him for writing in tonight because it's related to the issue you were talking about a moment ago. We're going to get to a caller in California in just a second. But it all started with this. Women's suffrage was the first radical egalitarian movement, so-called women's suffrage. They knew going straight to the sodomite issue would be too much too soon, and even in 2012 it very well may prove to be. But it started with that, then it went into integration and race, and then now homosexuals are equal to or greater than heterosexuals, so on and so forth, Keith. But a few more comments on that, and we're going to take a call from California if he would hold just a few minutes longer.
See, radical egalitarianism is what liberalism is based on. They start out with their strongest suit. Women are the same as or just as good as men. That's what all the women's suffrage movement, the suffragettes, people like that, were all about. Of course, all of the, and then you had the civil rights movement. Blacks are the same as or just as good as whites. Then you had, under the Earl Warren Supreme Court, criminal rights. Criminals are the same as or just as good as law-abiding citizens. You had illegal aliens are the same as or just as good as lawful citizens. You had feminism. Women are the same as or just as good as men. Then you have things like homosexual rights. Homosexuals are the same as or just as good as heterosexuals. Then you have environmentalism. Plants and animals are the same as or just as good as human beings. Now see, each of these gets progressively more absurd as you go along, because it's based on the ultimate absurdity of equality. Anyone that knows anything about nature or has two eyes to see and ears to hear knows that people are not interchangeable atoms. All you have to do is go to school for about 6 weeks and you understand that some kids can sing in tune, others can't. Some kids are sharp, others are dull. Some kids are athletic, some kids aren't. Some kids are tall, some kids are short. Some kids are fast, some kids are slow. In fact, you know, how can the left be supporters of evolution, which they are, if they believe in human equality? Because if they believe in that equality, there are no differences upon which natural selection would work. They would have to, you know, that they're going to have to give up one belief or the other. But of course, consistency is, as in their minds, a hobgoblin of little minds, as Ralph Waldo Emerson said. They don't care to be consistent about anything. But sodomite marriage is so obviously contrary to all human experience that if you try to push that on the people, you know, and that they've even got some so-called conservatives. There was this guy named Ted Olson who used to be the Solicitor General of the United States, and he was considered to be some type of stalwart conservative. He's actually a pernicious neocon. And after Proposition 8 was voted down in 2008 by the California voters, he said, the Constitution of Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, and George Washington will not permit homosexual marriage to be banned. Does the guy understand that that Constitution, the Constitution that was in existence during the lives of all those men, didn't have the word equal or equality anywhere in it? Basically, that first came about when the 14th Amendment was passed, and Lincoln was dead before the 14th Amendment was passed into law. See, this is another thing you need to understand about the Brown decision. How did the Constitution migrate from being something that was to prevent or to protect state and local government against depredations by the federal government into something that provided rights to individual human beings? That happened through the 14th Amendment, through what's called the Incorporation Clause. What the left did was they said that when the 14th Amendment was passed, this Incorporation Clause, which gave some rights to individuals, they started cherry-picking the Bill of Rights and said, well, the First Amendment is one of these rights that the government, the state and local governments can't legislate against the interests of, let's say, one heckler or one crazy individual. And, of course, you never hear anything about the Second Amendment being incorporated. They don't want that incorporated. But, see, this is what the left has done. They've used the 14th Amendment, basically the Jewish justices on the Supreme Court. It was Felix Frankfurter who masterminded the Brown decision. That's where it all came from. And now, why don't Jewish jurists have any respect for the handiwork of the Founding Fathers? Probably because none of the Founding Fathers was Jewish, James.
Keith, you're right on, as you always are. And I think I speak for the entire audience, and that being, if there is a blessing that can be drawn from the events of the past 7 days, is that you are now going to be available to be with us for some extended time, sometimes as much as the entire show. And I believe next week you are planning, Keith, perhaps to be with us for the entire 3 hours. And, of course, during that week, you will really lay out the case of why the Brown versus Board of Education decision was one of the most ominous days in American history. And we've been touching on it tonight, and you're going to further elaborate on it next week as we round the corner on another Brown versus Board anniversary. But I want to quickly make this point, then we're going to get to the phone. As far as the whole sodomite marriage issue is, we oppose it from a biblical standpoint. But even if you don't share our faith, you would have to admit that it is a biological and evolutionary dead end. If it's so great, as the left tells us, if everyone practiced it, the human race would be pitched off at this generation. And so for that reason and many others, it just makes no sense to champion this as something to be exalted. Keith, you got your headset on. We're going to go to a call real quick if he's still there. He's been waiting very patiently. Bruce in California.
Yes, I really find it rather silly, all of this applause that Mitt Romney is getting over opposing gay marriage. You know, it's just sort of an emotional, silly issue. I mean, gay people are maybe 10% of the population, and 90% of those gays don't care whether they can get married or not. The fact of the matter with Mitt Romney is he is a loyal servant of the Israel lobby. And it's the same is true of, like, Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann. They have flags of Israel flying in their offices. And, you know, they're very opposed to gay marriage, and people support them. These patriots think it's just great that they were opposed to gay marriage. You know, it's like saying, well, I'm opposed to pedophilia or something, and everyone stands up and applauds. Well, the fact of the matter is these people are destroying, they're talking about the new conservatives, Mitt Romney, Sarah Palin, Michelle Bachmann. These are people who make pilgrimages.
My friend, we're coming up on a break. I don't want to cut you off, but I see your point. I agree with it, and we're going to answer it after this break. Stay tuned, and thank you again for the call.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
You know, isn't this great? We're having such a great time tonight talking about these issues. Keith Alexander reminded me that we earn our tagline every week. This show is not for the politically correct or the faint of heart. It's a truth zone. It is a true truth zone, and we're going to give you, as Keith said, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help us God. And we try to base our opinions on these issues based on scriptures as much as we can. But, you know, we're getting great calls tonight, too. And, you know, I mentioned a moment ago that Sam Bushman was our guest last week. And during his presentation in the second hour of last week's live show, and again, you can catch that in the broadcast archive now at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Don't forget that we have changed over the link to our broadcast archives. So if you had previously bookmarked our most recent podcast, for instance, you'll need to update that, and that can be found. The new link can be found at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Just go over to the archives page and bookmark those new links. But in Sam's presentation, he shared with us that Sean Hannity and all of these people, they have paid actors to serve as their callers. Here at the Political Cesspool, we have no idea at all what people are going to say when they call in. And nine times out of ten, the callers are thoughtful and articulate, and they have something to offer the program, and better yet, they're not working from a script, and they're not collecting a paycheck, and it just goes to show how great it is to be able to serve such wonderful people. But anyway, Keith, getting back to the call, you wanted to answer that gentleman's point before we take another caller from Alabama.
Here's what I wanted to say regarding that caller's point. He's right. Everybody that is anywhere near the levers of power in America has been thoroughly vetted through groups like Leadership Memphis or Leadership Cucamonga or wherever it is. They find out who the liberals are. They don't let anybody get elected or to serve in a position of power and authority unless they are reliably liberal. The people of America may not want gay marriage, but on the other hand, all these little would-be elites that you see from the local government point all the way up to president have been thoroughly vetted, and they're not going to leave the reservation. They are not going to take the common sense position that 95% of the people of America would do. Now, see, even black people turned on liberals in the Proposition 8 vote. 73% of the black population that voted in California voted against gay marriage. Now, what this tells you is that Obama and his administration and the Democrat Party and the kept opposition, the Republican Party, are tyrants. People in today's world think tyrant equals mean guy. That's not what a tyrant is. A tyrant is somebody who ruled without due regard for law and custom. The custom of the entire world, Christian, Muslim, Zoroastrian, Shinto, Buddhist, you name it, nobody is for gay marriage. And quite frankly, when some law is passed, like the Defense of Marriage Law, which basically just restates what the traditional marriage customs of the entire world is, for a leader to say, I'm going to ignore that law, I'm going to refuse to enforce it, I'm going to tell my attorney general not to enforce it, that is classical tyrannical behavior. That's what a tyrant does. Obama is a tyrant. His administration is tyrannical. And they're up here trying to get applause lines for being in support of something that 90% of the American people are opposed to. Now, if that doesn't cause women, white Gentile liberals, all of these people to wake up, then they're a lost cause, James, and that's just all there is to it.
All right, Keith, my friend, if you would slip your headset back on, we're going to go back to the phones where I'm sure we're going to find another very astute caller. Courtney in Alabama, our good friend. Courtney, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thanks again for taking my call. Welcome back, Keith, and I'm continuing to pray for you. I hope you're doing okay.
I'm doing just great, and thank you so much. I did read your blog postings and your emails, and it's wonderful to know that I have people like you in my corner. What my wife's death showed me, among other things, is just how nobody has any guarantee that we'll be here 1 minute more or 1 day more or 1 week more. So consequently, let's go after it right now. That, you know, the sun is setting on all of us every day, and we've got to make a difference in the world. We're going to go down swinging down here at the Political Cesspool, and I know that our audience, people like you, wouldn't have it any other way.
Yes, and I, as a woman who supports you, I really appreciate the hard work you all do that I'm not willing to do, and because and that leads me into my next topic. I agree fully with what you said about feminists and women getting the vote. I have no problem with what you said whatsoever. As a woman, I agree that there's just certain things we're not meant to do, and quite frankly, I wouldn't want to do it. I mean, it's unnatural. I don't want to have to fight in a war. I don't want to have to put my face out there and be a leader. And I think feminism only makes sense if you're a lesbian, because the whole reason I am attracted to men as a heterosexual female is because y'all can do things that I can't do. So it really doesn't make any sense unless you're a lesbian to believe in feminism. And the second point I want to make is, I know that sometimes I butt heads with some of the men on the website, but the reason is because I do agree that while we acknowledge the weaknesses of women, we also need to acknowledge that it is how God made us, and some things can't be changed. And the only reason I sometimes get discouraged on the website is because sometimes in a lot of the male posters, I sense a sort of anger, you know, directed at white women. And, you know, I think most of the anger should be directed at the liberal establishment that planned for all of this to happen. And I'll let you respond to that.
Well, I think you're right. But let me tell you, the basic problem with, you know, male-female relations today comes from liberalism, and it comes from the absurd notion that all human beings are interchangeable atoms. Men are no different from women. Blacks are no different from whites. Criminals are no different from law-abiding citizens. Illegal aliens are no different from lawful citizens. You know, and it even gets out of the human sphere. You have something like environmentalism, which tells us that plants and animals are the same as or just as good as human beings. You know, there's a lot of difference between all of these groups. The left has captured the high ground, supposedly, as being the nice people, the kind people. They have the corner of the market on niceness, as I said, because they pretend to be for people. For example, in the Civil Rights Movement, they were supposedly for black people. But look at what has happened to black people since the Civil Rights Movement. There are more people in poverty now than there were in 1954. There is a higher percentage of black males incarcerated now. There is a much than there was in 54. There is a much higher illegitimacy rate within the black community, which is disastrous for children, since 1954. In 1950, the black illegitimacy rate was 22%. Today, it's over 72%. You know, what is so good about that? And it's all a result of liberalism. See, you've got to be able to understand that liberalism is not for anybody. The Civil Rights Movement wasn't pro-black, it was anti-white. Feminism was not pro-woman, it was anti-male. Environmentalism isn't pro-environment, it's against first-world development and first-world people who are predominantly white people in the world. Criminal rights were not for criminals, they were against the law-abiding citizenry. The left feels that criminals do a wonderful job of destabilizing bourgeois society, and they don't want criminals hampered in performing this essential function. This is what people need to understand. Left-leaning people and the leftists and the people that are really behind all of this don't love anybody. They're animated not by love or tolerance. They're animated by envy and resentment. As Vilfredo Pareto, the Italian philosopher, said back in the 19th century, all egalitarian movements are initiated by people who are angry about certain inequalities that exist in life that work against them and people like them, and they want to replace them not with the lack of inequality, they want to replace them with new inequalities which favor them and do not favor the people that they felt were favored by the other inequalities. That's what people think. That's what's going on. That's what you need to understand. That's what everybody needs to understand. Don't let them drive a wedge between men and women. Men and women have God-ordained roles, and they need to be together working in order for society to work. when people have animus between themselves on the issue of sex, we don't have children. That's what is primarily wrong with the white race today.
If you're driving around in the car, you are exempt from what I'm about to ask. But if you're listening at home on your computer somewhere around the world, I want you to stand up from your chair right now and give Keith Alexander a hero's round of applause for coming back in tonight under the circumstances and giving us 2 hours of outstanding radio. We're going to be back with the third and final hour of tonight's broadcast right after this. I'm James Edwards, and I'll see you after the break.